The reading this morning is from the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give to them, to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert of Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give to them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
Thank you, Jackie. Well, I had a handout out front. I hope you grabbed one of those. And I will try and get that up on the screen here if I could. And the handout is about two things, one on each side of our line. The top one is about where we are in the Bible. And I've put this as the Jesus Bible order, and I mean that that he described what was the scripture to him, which would have been our Old Testament, in Luke chapter 24, the last chapter, in verses 24 and verses 44. He describes in verse 44 the scripture as the law, the prophets, and the Psalms. Well, the Psalms are the first book of the group that has come to be known as the writings. It's a little bit different than what's in the table of contents in most of our Bibles. You can turn there if you want to and take a look, because we're going to be focusing this year on the prophets. And let me show you what that means. It means a time in Israel's history, in the history of the Bible. It's the time from when they entered the land as a conquering nation until the time they were exiled to Babylon. And so you'll see that under the term former prophets in the Hebrew Bible, in the Jewish Bible, and you can still, if you want a believer's Bible that has this layout, you can. I often read from the Tree of Life version. It's done by Jewish believers, and they put the Old Testament into the order that it's always been. And the thing about this order is that the law of Moses is exactly the same as is in your Bible, and the New Testament is exactly the same as is in your Bible, but it's the prophets and the writings where there's some back and forth changes in the order of the books. And the reason I emphasize this so often is because in the order that Jesus talks about, that order, putting these books together in particular ways, shows the emphasis that these prophets had pushing us towards the Messiah, encouraging us to have hope in the Messiah. And so the former prophets, the earlier ones, are Joshua, Judges, Samuel, and Kings. And that is the storyline of this time from the conquest to the exile. And the latter prophets, which did happen later, most of them you could put, they started, the earliest ones were in the time in the book of the Kings up above. And so it is coming later. And the three main ones in this understanding are Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel. They're the three largest prophet books. Daniel is in the book, or in the section called the Writings. And then the 12, which we often call the minor prophets. There's nothing minor about them except they wrote smaller books. And so they are in also in pretty much chronological order. It's not exact. It's not easy to tell in which order they were all written always. And so that's where we are in the Bible. And if you move down to the second part, you'll see that we are, yes, this is where we are in our study. Last year, we studied the law, and we did it by studying in the fall. We studied the creation, the first 11 chapters of Genesis, and then we studied the promise, Genesis 12 through 50, the end of the book, and that was from the call that Abraham received. Now, I'm going to bless the whole world through you, Abraham, and whoever blesses you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And that is the place it really all begins for us. And the end of the book of Genesis goes all the way to Abraham's grandson, Jacob, and he's an old man, and he's dying, and he's in Egypt, where Jacob has, his son Joseph has created a safe place for them to be, and his son Judah has negotiated that process and come around. And so Jacob on his deathbed says that my son Judah, my fourth son, will be as my first son. He will inherit the blessing, and he will, from him will come the tribe of the king. And so he is the tribe of the king. And Joseph will be rewarded by having a double portion when they come back to the land all those years later. And so we looked at the creation, the promise, and then we looked at the people, which captures Exodus through Deuteronomy, the rest of the law of Moses, and that is from the birth of Moses to the death of Moses. And so in all that time, Moses took them out from Egypt, the Exodus. He took them to Mount Sinai, where they heard the Ten Commandments and the rest of the law covenant, and agreed to that law covenant, immediately broke it with the golden calf, and then were taken up a couple of years later, taken to the entry point, to the promised land, and they balked. They were afraid, and they wouldn't do it. After all that God had done for them, they chickened out. And so God said to them, okay, fine, you can wander around for 40 years in this howling wilderness until you drop dead. And anybody who was 20 years or younger when they passed through the Red Sea, that generation, I will send them into the land. And so that's where we are now. And we looked at that section through the lens of the book of Galatians in the New Testament. And so Paul in the New Testament talks about the law and about those stories. And we studied that last spring. And so now this fall, we begin our work in the prophets. And so we will study the entry into the land, Joshua and Judges, this fall. This coming winter, we're going to focus on the time of the kings, starting with Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings. And as you can imagine, there's a lot of material there, so we're not going to be going verse by verse. In the spring, we will study the prophets and their writings. And so if you will notice on your bulletin that there are two scripture passages here. It says Joshua 1 through 5:12, and then 1 through 9. And so the one that is not in bold print, that's the area that we're going to be roaming around in today. And the smaller one is the place we're going to focus and the idea we're going to focus on as the message that the prophets are bringing. And so when I say the prophets, what I mean by this is that the prophets are the people who gave us the Old Testament. And for a focus point on this, if you want a place to mark in your Bibles to give you the picture, go to Ephesians 2 and verse 20. And Paul there is talking about what it means for Jews and Gentiles to come together in Christ to be the people of God. And he says, you are a living sanctuary. You are living stones in this sanctuary. And the foundation, verse 20 says, you have been built on the foundation made up of the apostles and the prophets, with Jesus, the Messiah himself, being the cornerstone that pulls it all together and holds it all together. So the foundation, the apostles, what they did, what we have in the New Testament is the testimony of the apostles and the eyewitnesses. That is the foundation of the apostles. And the foundation of the prophets is what we have as the Old Testament. So they're the ones who pulled these books together as time went on and gave us this product that Jesus said, this is the word of God from now and forevermore. That's, I mean, he held this in very high regard. He was not a lawbreaker. And so I'm likening this to, I've been reading nautical themes this summer. The Treasure Island and, let's see, the Barbary Pirates. And I'm midway through Robinson Crusoe right now. So I will liken what we're doing right now is we're weighing anchor and we're pulling out of the dock and we're heading out into the big waters. So at this place, Joshua 1, where Jackie read, that's the next page after Deuteronomy, the end of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is Moses' swan song. He's 120 years old and he's recalling for them the last 42 years of what's been going on since they went through the Red Sea. And at Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 15, Moses says to the people, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your midst, from your brothers. To him you must listen. And then the Lord reiterates that in verse 18, I will raise up a prophet like you for them from among their brothers. Now a prophet like Moses is described in the book of the law, where it says that most prophets dream dreams and see visions, but Moses sits across the table and talks with the Lord God as a man talks with his friend. And so the very close, the very end of the book of Deuteronomy, after Moses is now dead, the later prophets are writing back. They're saying, no one has yet seen another prophet like Moses. So they were looking for this prophet. So there's an expectation for a prophet like Moses, and that goes all the way to the Gospels. That's why in John's Gospel, John the Baptizer and Jesus are being asked, are you the prophet? They know there have been lots of prophets, but one like Moses, that's who they're looking for. So there's this strong expectation. There's also a strong connection between Moses and Joshua, because the very commission, the very promise that Jackie read just a minute ago appears earlier in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 31, toward the end of the book. It says in verse 23 in chapter 31, then he, the Lord, that is, commissioned Joshua, son of Nun, and said, I'm reading from the Tree of Life version, so they drop Hebrew words in here. The Lord said to Joshua, Chazak, be strong, be courageous, for you will bring the sons of Israel into the land I swore to them, and I will be with you. Now, when Moses had finished writing the words of this Torah on a scroll right to the end, it says. It says, he commanded the Levites, the carriers of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this scroll of the Torah, and it's a big scroll, and place it beside the Ark of the Covenant. So this is central. The presence of God is right there at the Ark of the Covenant, and right there next to him is the roll of the scroll of the Torah, the covenant. And he says, place it right beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God. It will remain there as a witness against you. Ooh, here is the law that I commanded you. Here's the law that you agreed to. And so now you will know whether or not you have kept the agreement you had with me. And of course, they were not going to keep it. So the Torah was revealed to Moses and not to Joshua. So we know that Joshua is not the prophet. Someone's coming, but it's not Joshua. He has that distinction. I mean, how do you fill big shoes like that? Joshua is not the prophet like Moses, but he is the leader authorized by God and by Moses. They both commissioned him. And the way he's going to succeed, God tells him, is that he's going to follow the law of God, follow the word of God. And the prophet that's going to be revealed in the Gospels, he's going to be the living word of God. He's going to be the living Torah. That's who we meet in Jesus the Messiah, whose Last Supper we share in. That's who he was. But Joshua certainly didn't know that at this point. But God is very clear to Joshua in this. Let me just go back through a couple of verses that Jackie read. Arise, you and all these people, cross over this Jordan to the land that I am giving to them, to the sons of Israel. So you got something to do. You got to cross the Jordan. Down in verse 6, again he says, Chazak, be strong. Do not turn from the Torah to the left or to the right, so that you may be successful wherever you go. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, and that will make your ways prosperous and your ways successful. So, who of you remembers where those words are repeated again in the Bible? Anyone? It's in Psalms. Which Psalm? Come on. Psalm 1. It's the very first psalm. This is the gateway into the era of the prophets. While you're waiting for the prophet like Moses, live by this law and you'll be successful. So again, after all the time and all the failure of all the kings, you've been exiled. And so we come to the time after the exile where we've come back, we've rebuilt the walls of the city, we've rebuilt the temple, and we start over in the time of the writings, it's called. Psalm 1 is that gateway, and it says the very same words. Meditate on this word day and night. And why are we meditating? Because we're looking forward to that king. And so this is an important application for us. Be strong and live out God's word. Joshua is a new leader for a new generation. And so that's God's advice to him. Be strong to diligently observe my word. If you want to start your Hebrew studies, today would be, that's a great word to start with, chazak. Be strong. That is to act with the authority that God has given you. That doesn't mean to be harsh, or to be ugly, or full of hubris, or anything of the sort. It means to be confident in what God has told you and willing to do what he has told you. Act with the authority he has given you. Jesus showed us what this looked like in the garden. It was time. His hour had come in the garden at Gethsemane. And he said he had the strength to say, not my will, but yours be done. okay, the day is here, and yes, I am going to do this. That took strength because he knew what was coming. And the strength showed itself all through that night and the next day when Jesus is standing in front of Pilate, and Pilate says, "Don't you know I have the authority to take your life or to give it back to you?" And Jesus says, "You have no authority except what has been given you by God." Now that's strength. That's being strong. He is going all the way through the finish line. What are you authorized and commanded to do? Do you just have a job? Well, I got this job. You are authorized and commanded to do that job as unto the Lord. That's you. Do that job in that way. Whatever you're assigned to do, you do it and you do it well. I'm just a dad, I'm just a mom, just a parent. What are you authorized and commanded to do? You are authorized and commanded to drive the foolishness that is bound up in the heart of your children. Again, that doesn't mean you be brash or rash or ugly or anything of the sort. It just means you have to be determined about it. You have to be strong and focused. We have two teenagers in our grandchildren crew now. They're testing the limits of those things. Reminded of how an old cowboy that I know, who is a believer, described raising children and training young colts. He says, it's like hanging on to a wet bar of soap. If you hold on to it too hard, it'll squirt out from you, but you have to hang on to it hard enough so it doesn't fall out of your hand. Gentle as you can, firm as you must. That was his byword. One of my daughters was watching her children get some sort of sports lessons last week, and she said a woman by her, who was another parent, said, "Oh, I hope they get something in the smartphones that helps the kids not get so much bad stuff coming their way." And my daughter, in her feminine, gentle way, said, basically, "You're the parent, take the phone away. You have the authority. You have the command. Help your child with this." And so all the things that you have in your life, you know, whatever it is, to work, to be married, to parent, do that by God's word. Be strong. Now, let's move on. If you're open to the book of Joshua, which I hope you are, let's move over to chapter 2 and look at the first verse there. We'll read it in just a minute. But basically, Joshua does something a little different than Moses had done earlier. Joshua secretly sends out two spies. And if you compare that to what Moses did back in Numbers chapter 13 and 14 thereabouts, he democratically, as the Lord told him to do, they sent took a leader from each tribe, all 12 tribes, and sent them as spies into the land. And they all came back, and of course they were all like politicians, liable to their constituency, their tribes. They came back and held a giant town hall meeting, and 10 out of the 12, 10 of them said, "It's too risky, it's too scary, let's not." And their lack of chazak, their lack of strength, earned them 40 years in the wilderness until they passed on to their reward. And God told them at that time, "You used your children as an excuse. Oh, I'm afraid for the children." He said, "Now your children are going to have to follow you around in this howling wilderness for 40 years, and they're going to have to grow up out there because you wouldn't enter in." But Joshua was one of the two who said, "Let's do it." He and Caleb had chazak, they had strength. And so Joshua this time, he's in charge and he's not making that mistake again. There's no vote this time. God says, go. And so in chapter 2 it says, then Joshua, son of Nun, secretly sent out 2 spies from Shittim, saying, go explore the land, especially Jericho, because that's the first place they're going to come to. And so they went and came to the house of a prostitute whose name was Rahab, and they lodged there. So Joshua, as all business people do, and as all military people do, he did his due diligence. He counted the cost. What does this mean? And he did it with 2 secret spies and this woman named Rahab. Now, whatever Rahab was in Jericho, she became a mother in Israel. And she is on the first page of your New Testament. Matthew chapter 1. She is in the genealogy as one of the grandmothers of the Messiah, Jesus. Jesus said, count the cost. Do your due diligence. Wisdom is about assessing risk. Life is full of risks. And when you assess risk with wisdom, that gives your faith meaning. I knew what I was getting into when I took this chance. Faith without wisdom is often just foolishness. It's laziness. Oh, the Lord has promised he'll take care of me, so I guess I'll be okay, maybe, whatever. That's not what's being talked about here. Joshua was told, given assurances, but he still sent 2 spies in. All right, let's see, what do we actually have to do here? And Paul, in the New Testament, talks about being a fool for Christ. And what that means is that I know that this will cost me everything. I know the cost, but I'm doing it anyway because it's right and true. Now, that's faith. Knowing the truth, knowing the cost, and doing it anyway. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom. Keep seeking, keep studying, keep practicing, keep asking, asking the Lord, asking one another. Keep praying, keep dreaming, keep doing, keep seeking. Due diligence. All right. So Joshua was doing that. His spies came back and told him what they needed to know. Now let's go to chapter 3. Now, one of the reasons I'm doing it this way is I've given you the section on this word or on this message that you can study ahead of time if you want to read these stories in between here very carefully. And I'm happy to answer questions or entertain questions anyway, whether I answer them or not. So the next part was to cross the Jordan. And this is down by the Dead Sea. And I've been there a couple of times where you come over the hill going east from Jerusalem and you see the whole Dead Sea Valley. Jerusalem is a couple thousand feet above sea level, and the Dead Sea Valley is over 1,000 feet below sea level. And so when you get down there, there's a place where you can see the city of Jericho and you can see the Jordan River and the top of the Dead Sea. You can see the whole thing from one place. And so they were crossing the river in view of the city of Jericho. The city of Jericho saw this happening. Let's look at chapter 3 and verse 17. It says, the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan. They were told as soon as they put their feet in the Jordan, the water stopped, and it just stacked up to the north until they all got through. And so they were told not to go near the Ark of the Covenant, so they were way south crossing over that way. So the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firmly on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all of Israel crossed over on dry ground until the entire nation had finished crossing over the Jordan. And then they were told, while you're walking through this place where nobody ever goes because it's usually covered with water, we want you to pick up 12 stones and bring them over and make a memorial for what the Lord did for you here. And of course, having guys pick up stones, you can't pick up one that's less big than the other guy picked up. So I'm sure that these 12 stones were good size things. And they brought them to the other side and built a memorial. And then in the next chapter, chapter 4, in verse 21b, it describes why God had them do this. When your children ask their fathers in time to come, what are these stones? Then you will inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you crossed, just as the Lord your God did to the Sea of Reeds or the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we crossed over. He did that 42, 43 years ago, and some of you crossed over then because you were little kids. You remember this. So that, and the reason he does it, verse 24, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord's hand is mighty, and so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. So, cross over. He says, it's time to do it. Get your stuff together. We're going. Cross over, enter in, commit. And remember this, because there's no going back. Once those waters come back, we're in. They're all out there in the plain sight of Jericho, too. And those people are scared to death. The spies found that out already when they went. And this is the reason we tell our faith stories. This is the reason we write them down at each age of our life. Write them, rewrite your story every few years, because God's been doing things. Pick up those stones from the bottom of the riverbed where God is taking you through a place that people don't go. Amen. There's no going back into the wilderness. That's behind you. It's like when we commit our lives to following King Jesus. There's no going back to the desert of sin. Yes, we sin, but we come to this table, this Lord's table, and we get this right with the Lord. That's why he gave us this. We are entering a new place with God's promise, just like the children of Israel. Well, let's press on to this last piece of scripture in chapter 5. Look at verse 7, and I'll set this up, because once they got across the Jordan, they had to take care of some business. And the business was all the children that had been born since they left Egypt, they had not been circumcised. The scripture tells us that they were in Egypt, but not now. And so all the males who had been born, all the males, had to be circumcised. And so let's look at 5:7 and the second half of that. They were uncircumcised since they had not been circumcised along the way. Now it came to pass, after they had finished circumcising the entire nation, that they remained in their places in the camp until they recovered. I should say so. Better to do that on the eighth day when you don't remember. Oy. Then Adonai said to Joshua, this day, getting this, catching up accounts, this day I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. All the slavery, all the sins of your parents are rolled away from you because you are owning this. Therefore, it says, the name of that place has been called Gilgal, which means to roll. It's been called Gilgal to this day. So again, this is a prophetic voice writing from later. While in verse 10, while the sons of Israel camped at Gilgal, they observed Passover on the evening of the 14th day of the month in the plains of Jericho. This Lord's Supper is a small central piece of that Passover that they celebrated. They've celebrated that Passover in view of the walls and the gates of Jericho. Verse 11, on the day after the Passover, on that very day, they ate of the produce of the land, matzot, matzahs, and roasted grain. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten of the produce of the land. So God is cutting off the welfare. The sons of Israel had manna no longer, but ate some of the yield of the land of Canaan that year. That's all behind us. No more training wheels. We're owning this for ourselves. Roll away the past. Now, they had circumcision, which was, thank heaven, a one-time thing. We have some one-time things. And they had Passover, which was an ongoing thing. This should have been about their 43rd Passover. We have a one-time thing called baptism. You need to do that. If you need to do that, you need to do that. We have a one-time thing called church membership. Yes, I'm part of this body of believers that God has instituted in this place. And yet there are ongoing things. We're going to share in the harvest a meal together to celebrate the Lord next Sunday. So plan to be here and bring something with you. Sign up online, if you will, for one of those things. Because we have to get our own food, just like the children of Israel had to. They had to own it. God gave me this life. God gave me this life. I can't sit around waiting for it to happen. I had to cross the Jordan, but God helped me do it. We did the circumcision, but God helped us do it. We did the Passover as He commanded. We're obeying His word. This is so intense, don't you think? Why this intensity? Let me close us with one passage from the very end of the Bible, where the Apostle John, at the end of his life, is seeing and meeting the Lord Jesus, King Jesus of all humanity, King Jesus of all heaven and earth. And he doesn't say, "Yo, bro, what's up?" He's terrified of this guy he knew. This is very intense stuff. He hit the deck, face on the ground. And Jesus tells him some things about the churches that he's involved with at the present time. And he says, "I have a message for the church at Laodicea." Revelation chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "Because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I am about to spew you out of my mouth." How's that for intense coming from the Lord? "You say, 'I am rich, I have made myself wealthy, and I need nothing.'" That is the best characterization I can imagine of the American and the Western church. "I am rich, I have made myself wealthy, and I need nothing. But Jesus says that you do not know that you are miserable and pitiable and poor and blind and naked." And then he goes on to say in verse 19, "Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent." Repent? What do we have to repent about? Repent that we've been floating like a cork downstream with the culture all around us, leading a distracted life. Just going from one distraction to another, our little addictions that keep us from having to deal with what's really going on in our life and around us. Pardon me. We need to repent of our distracted life, repent about our constant worry over safety. "Oh, but the children." God says, "Don't use them for an excuse." So here's the deal. I have news for you. There's nobody alive today who's 200 years old. Probably not 150, maybe 120. We're only here for a certain amount of time. So stop worrying about it the whole time and live. Be strong. We're worried about missing out on pleasure. An addiction is wonderful the first time you engage that behavior, but every time after, you're just worried that you're not going to get more. Jesus says to repent of that, and he goes on in verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, he doesn't want to be harsh, I will come in to him and will dine with him and he with me. To the one who overcomes, I will grant the right to sit with me on my throne, just as I myself overcame by my strength and by my determination to do the right thing. I overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to Messiah's communities, to the church. So Jesus is saying to us, Chazak, be strong. The authority that you're commanded to take, take it and live it out. Count the cost. It's going to cost you everything if you follow him. Commit. Enter in. Cross the Jordan. Get there and take care of business. And when you do that, he will roll away the past. You will be a new person in Christ. So this message given to Joshua and the children of Israel has rolled down through the generations, and Jesus says the same thing to us. Be strong, count the cost, and enter in. Commit yourself, and I will roll away all the things that have held you back, and I will bring you to the place that I promised. And so we have so many things that Monica mentioned at the front of the service. We have the harvest feast coming next week. There's a trip to Israel that's we're going to try and fill one small bus. And if we're able to do that, we'll have a great time next March. Need to know about that fairly soon so that we can buy airline tickets. We have small groups. Plan to be part of one of those. And if you don't work, you don't have the right group of people or the right time, come and see me. We'll invent one for you. And I'll be part of your small group until you can't stand me anymore and throw me out. Lots of men's Bible studies, women's Bible studies, every kind. We have Awana Club. We need volunteers for Awana. We have SNL, which is the Sunday Night Live thing for high school students. We have Breakaway for middle school students. That's all getting underway. So plan to be strong and to count the cost. Yes, I can do this because I need to do this, and commit to it. And you will find that whatever was behind you is still behind you, and you're moving forward into the place that God promised. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to share this matzo and this wine with you today. Thank you that you gave your body and spilled your blood on our behalf. Thank you that you are raised in power as the King. Lord, help us to follow you and keep faith with you and to have faith in you, to trust you for all these things. Lord, our culture says to just go along and get along. And you're calling us to lead out and do the things, to live out your word. And you showed us what that looked like. You are the living word of God. And we thank you for that today. In Jesus' name, amen.